Ray Brown on bass, and the Ray Brown Trio, consisting of Garrick King on drums, Red Holloway on sax, and Gene Harris on piano, with a little number called Mistreated but Undefeated Blues. It's from the 1984 album, Solar Energy. That's S-O-U-L-A-R. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrice Lead. And, of course, we have to go back to that messy so-called debate. We have to go back to that. But I just want to mention there's going to be a lot of news about Trump's triumph in North Korea. And we're going to have a lot of stories, a lot of coverage about that. But we will be, of course, discussing it, but from a different angle. I wanted to talk about this development since the Democratic debate. I hate using the word. It wasn't a debate. The Democratic dog and pony show that yielded some very unexpected results. The top of the list is that, of course, we saw Joe Biden take a serious punch to the stomach, and it kind of sidelined him there for a minute. He's not going anywhere anytime soon unless there's a miracle. And the person who delivered that punch was Kamala Harris, the senator from California. I want to know your thoughts. Before I tell you what I'm thinking, I'd like to hear what you're thinking. Because it seems to me that somebody got a pass here. And I think it was a calculation. It was a clear calculation that she could get away with it. And she did. She shouldn't have. She still shouldn't have. But she did. What did she get away with, as you see it? What did Kamala Harris get away with in these debates that netted a victory, a significant victory? The path is now clear. It's an open race now since Joe Biden, who was considered something of the guy to beat, in fact, was beat. He was beaten up pretty thoroughly. But we should focus on Kamala Harris for today. Because something rather interesting occurred. And it disturbs me. In fact, I think it's just plain wrong. What could it be, do you think? What could it be? If you have any ideas, I'd like to hear them. Share them with us. What did Kamala Harris do during those debates that is so perturbing? And yet, in the world of politics, is so natural. In the dog-eat-dog world of politics, it's so natural. But somehow, it left a very bad taste in my mouth. Could you figure out what it was? Hello, Ed from Queens. You're on the air and you're starting us off today.
Hey, how you doing, Eutrice?
Okay.
Okay.
How about you?
I'm
still here.
I'm getting feedback from your phone, though, if you're speaking on a speaker. Ed, you there?
Yeah, it was a follow-up to radio. Basically, with the dog and pony show, as far as Kamala Harris getting some type of significant win. First of all, I don't even really see what the win was. She brings up something that's well over 30, 35 years old. An issue as far as busing is concerned, and as far as, I'm no fan of Joe Biden, but that issue, it was trivial. It had nothing to do with what's prevalent going on in the world today with our political situation, with our economic situation. I don't see why she was allowed to run that garbage, other than the fact that she might be the new poster child for the Democratic Party. I don't know what type of back deal machinations are going on behind the scenes. Maybe there's some type of political geometry figuring that she's a better or more plausible candidate than Joe Biden was or is. But I don't see it as being anything significantly challenging that she raised. I mean, like I said, you're talking about an issue that's well over 30 years old. It didn't have any real effect at the time. It was an issue. And to raise it now, it's just trivial and petty. I mean, I agree with you. It left a bad taste in my mouth also.
Well, that brings us to the end of our program today.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, Ed. You hit nail on the head. And this is something that she should be made to pay a price for. It was dirty politics. Dirty. Now, I know that in this situation, you get your points wherever you can, but this was really wrong. This was way wrong. Totally out of bounds as far as I'm concerned, because Ed is absolutely right. First, she brings up an issue going back that has been America, Black America, has been dealing with since the 50s, or even earlier than that, of course. But the issue was busing. It did not place us, she could not place us against Biden, she could not place us in the current situation. What is it that she disagrees with Biden about in the current time? She has nothing to offer. And so she reaches back and she brings forward this issue of busing as if it were, the hot issue of the day. And she starts pummeling him about him taking the wrong side back when it counted. He sided with the state. And of course, we know that the issue was an issue of race, racist policies regarding education, so that the government's ingenious plan was to just get the children from poor areas and bus them to white areas, white neighborhoods, where supposedly the schools would be better and they will have a better education, and this somehow will balance out the inequities. Okay, but she went a little further. Ed, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Hello.
Yeah, okay. I'm still here. Well, did you see how neatly she brought the issue to herself as one of the children bust back in the day?
Yes, I mean she tried to draw a line and create an issue out of nothing. Like you said, busing wasn't adequate anyway. It wasn't equal with the Plessy versus Ferguson decision. It wasn't. The whole point was make everything equal. Provide the resources in the community so a child can get the adequate education. Not remove someone from the community. take out of the community, remove resources, remove people from the community, and allow the community to still be destroyed. So, I mean, in retrospect, busing was a fait accompli. It did not do what it was supposed to do, and nor was it designed to do. It was designed to do exactly what it did do, which is ostracize African American people in this country. Number one, he tried to draw this line as far as yes, I was a child, playing on the emotional and the heartstrings.
There you go.
You know, gotta wake up. It was garbage. It was still garbage.
He also neglected to mention that this caused great upheaval in the African American community because there was lots of protest. They didn't take this lying down. This was a major fight. This was a major fight. So, out of nothing, the thing is, she had nothing to offer as a current issue that people should consider. She had nothing.
Well, that's my point. They all have nothing. I mean, there's many things you could confront Joe Biden on. You know, there's many things you can confront her on. The problem is, when do we get rid of these emotionally based opinion-generated politics and get to the real matters at hand? What's going on? How are you going to address the economic crisis? How are you going to address the health crisis? How are you going to address these things and give me something that I can hold you accountable with? Not this garbage. This is a waste of time. It's a monumental.
But she used that old cliche of racial extortion. She knows.
Yeah.
I mean, Biden was back in the day. She was a child. Mm-hmm. You know, this was an ongoing fight that lasted for decades.
Decades. Yes.
But when you come to debate, supposedly, about the presidency of the United States in current time, and you don't raise one single issue in current time that we're dealing with, it was a calculated move on her part, and it worked because she stunned Biden. Biden never expected to be put on the, you know, put under the floodlights about something that happened a long time ago. And to ask and demand that he explain himself with regard to his votes more than 30 years ago, what therefore would have been a justifiable equivalent as it applied to Kamala Harris?
Well, explain her prosecutorial record, how she abused her offices, how she refused to investigate police, which is a far more present and more pressing matter than anything that Biden did over 50 years ago with busing. I mean, she's got her own balls in her closet. There's a specific case of her not inquiring as far as the actions of a young African-American woman dying in California. I can't remember the specifics. I'm not in front of my computer to look it up, but there's several instances where her prosecutorial misconduct comes to bear. So, I mean, you know, she played a defunct race card. Like, years ago, you say the race card. She played it to the hilt, and it's pathetic. But this whole thing with this whole Democratic / Republican side.
Well, Ed, I have to thank you for a second time, although I don't want to thank you for bringing this program to an end today.
I appreciate you. I really appreciate you.
But you're absolutely right. And I'm amazed that nobody caught it.
Well,
I was waiting and waiting. Okay, she didn't get smashed at that time, but a couple of days have gone by, and still nobody has raised a question about her prosecutorial reputation, why she chose that field, what happened under her watch to people of color, especially in that system. And I still think that there is time for that to be examined. She did the wrong thing. That was nasty politics that she played. And she did it calculating that she would get, number one, she would stymie and stun Joe Biden, which worked, and that she would get a massive reaction, positive reaction from the black community. And of course, thirdly, as it turns out, she got quite a financial boost. People gave her a lot of money, seeing her now as one of the true contenders, if not the leader of the pack, because she has gotten notoriety, she's gotten money, and she has taken out, for all intents and purposes, she has taken out a chief rival who was in the lead, so to speak, of candidates. Nasty politics. And you see, when black people do this, in order to win, we're not even discussing the issue of sexism here. It's all hands off because she's a woman. But she ought to be shredded for doing what she did. That was not good politics. That was not above board. That did not honor the genuine struggle people had at that time, including herself. But to arrogate an entire movement to herself. I'm one of those children, you know, I'm one of those. And look at me, how successful I am today. And you were the reason that I potentially would have been thrown out. I potentially would have lost my life because I would not have gotten an education. She took all of that and arrogated it to herself.
She tied herself to the martyr stone. She tied herself to the cross. And I underwent busing also. I am of that age. And to tell you the truth, as a personal experience, I didn't get anything out of it. The only time when my academics really started to succeed is when I got out of elementary school and out of the busing program and went back into my South Jamaican neighborhood and started going to intermediate and high school there, junior high school and high school there. I got more out of it, I feel. And, you know, but like you said, it's low. And what passes for media, what passes for political analysis these days, not to pick it up, you know,
people are very uncomfortable about the subject. Yes. So they let her carry the burden and enjoy her singular position, because nobody else is talking race and anything like that, and nobody's confronting the supposedly very liberal Joe Biden on his racial record. So, well, you brought us a long way today, Ed, and kudos to you. You understood what you saw. That's great. I thank you for getting us started today.
I thank you, and I appreciate you, and appreciate your show. Look forward to
Thank you so much. Bill from Brooklyn.
Good afternoon.
What do you think of Kamala Harris's political move?
I think it was comical, to say the least, and an insult, which is on the serious side, an insult to people of color, especially black Americans who lived through those times. And I don't think she really gained any permanent headway on this. She did herself a great disservice because she came across, unfortunately, as a stereotype, and I think you know where I'm going with this, as an angry black woman who's pulling out the race card of something that's basically irrelevant at this point. And one thing that she failed to realize is that there are a whole lot of men and their families, their wives, their children, who look like Joe Biden. And so right then and there, and those are voters, and they're not going to forget that. And they shouldn't, and neither should we as black people, because that, like you said, was a below-the-belt tactic. She failed to comport herself as someone who is a candidate for the presidency, and instead chose to come out of the blocks like she was a prosecutor in a courtroom. And so,
yeah, but that classic passive aggressive demeanor.
Yes, exactly.
She's cool, but she is, in the meantime, she has her razor, her straight razor out, and she's cutting.
Most definitely. And that's not, I don't think that's going to serve her well. You know, she gets the headlines, people are coming out, oh, wow, how brilliant she did. You know, she's taken this old white guy out. But old white guys vote, and we need, especially in terms of trying to get Donald J. Trump out of office, they are going to be a big factor in that. And so it was very unfortunate. It was ugly. And I could say that I'm probably one of the few people on the planet that haven't watched 1 minute live of the debate because I know where it's all going at the end of the day. And you know, I'm not going to get myself riled up with these kinds of tactics and just I think people should watch, but I think I'm a cynic at this point in terms of seeing it as being no not really worth my effort. I'll get the commentary after the fact, but I'm not going to spend 2 or 3 hours of my time watching what is pretty much a 3-ring circus right now.
Taking the tact that she did take, what immediate damage did she do?
I think it just wasn't about her personally. I think the immediate damage is to the black community because it's pulling out of the crypt something that was very painful to a whole lot of people. Really targeting it on very unfairly on one individual who, for whatever purposes, as a senator during those times, voted one way or the other. And I can tell you, as someone who grew up on Capitol Hill at a time, I worked in Ted Kennedy's office in high school, and if you look at Ted Kennedy's record, I'm sure that he coalesced and partnered with some of, Stennis and Thurman and so forth to get things done. Not that it was always the right thing to do, but it might have been the practical thing, but nevertheless, no one's hands in that august body are clean. She got her 15 seconds, 15 minutes of fame, but I think it will filter out very, very quickly. And yes, she gets some ducats as well, some dollars, but from the start there, it proves that she's not worthy of being president because it would just be more of, first of all, I just don't see that as a possibility in this polarized society that we're in right now, and especially now that she's come out with teeth and claws bearing showing the world what she's really about.
Well, could you think of an unintended, or perhaps it was intended, consequence of her performance and selecting this as the best way to attack Joe Biden? Could you think of an unintended consequence of this that, in my view, looms very large?
Well, she gets the media. I mean, that was probably her intention from the start, so that's not unintended. She knew what her tactic would bring. As far as an unintended consequence, the wheels are spinning, I really can't point to anything in particular right now, but I'm sure
let me throw this out at you and see what you think. Okay.
Say again, please.
So she's angry with Joe Biden because he took the wrong side on the busing issue.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who selected who selected Joe Biden as vice president?
Barack Hussein Obama.
Okay. So that means that she has a problem, or she should have a problem, or she should call into question Barack Obama's judgment.
Absolutely.
Publicly. You see how silly people could be?
Exactly. And, I mean, she shot herself in the foot, and because, of course, I mean, I would expect that, and even though Obama has been silent, that he's going to back his guy. They are very close. And also he wants a Democrat in office, and so she's pretty much eliminated Barack and even Michelle to come out in support of her. So she sort of dug a hole for herself.
It certainly has. If she thinks that she, you know, she made a big bang, she also alienated a lot of people. I'm one of them. Thanks for calling in. Thank you for your contribution.
And me too.
To
you too. I'm definitely one of them. You're welcome.
Thank you. Eve of Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hello, Yutriska. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Hope you and the PRN audience is feeling well today. We're all hanging in there. I think I was going to same pretty much with the last caller. I think she's what they wanted to do here is keep the black vote in the Democratic Party. So you have a black woman attacking the old white guy and shows that she's standing up to these white guys, and maybe they're going to get attention.
30 years after the fact, right?
Yeah, it 30 doesn't years really after matter. The fact. Doesn't really matter as long as you have something, you know, that you can say to attack the white guy, and this in some way might make black voters stick with the Democratic Party, because I'm hearing that the Green Party might decide to run black candidates this time. And they don't want the Green Party to get to 5% that they need to become a legitimate party. But I think in the long run, it'll help Biden because, you know, it's an attack. So there's more white voters than black voters. So it probably would help Biden more eventually.
What disturbs you more than anything about her attack on Biden? I'm not a Biden fan myself, one way or the other, but what was it, when you think about it, what disturbs you about her attack on him?
Well, it didn't really disturb me. I don't get disturbed by things like that. I see that I look for a reason of why it's done. I think, you know,
yes,
all the candidates that are running in the Democratic Party are all in it together. And that's why they have so many candidates, so they can all
play this game. But no other candidates behaved this way. No other candidates decided to, you know, just tear the guy's throat open and to leave him there bleeding. That was her intention. She went there intending to cause that kind of damage. She did not address herself to issues that concerned the entire community now, and she arrogated the whole movement on busing and education to herself. This was her personal problem. And for that, she had to exact revenge on Joe Biden. And he looked a little bit vulnerable anyway. He looked tired. He looked sleepy. He was lacking energy. And she just pounced on him. And people thought it was fantastic. I'm not one of them. I think this is nasty politics. And especially because it comes from a black woman, I think we ought to really raise it publicly and excoriate her for doing this. This was wrong.
Yes, but was it done by design and on purpose and planned out ahead of time? That's the question
of course.
We have to wonder, because, you know, everything is scripted nowadays and it's all set up to have something happen that we're not going to be able to see, that this was done to manipulate us into thinking certain ways. So
no,
Biden's the guy, they're
going to
make him, you know, they have to get him some sympathy now because he got attacked like that. And what did he, was he responsible for the whole busing thing? And was busing, you know, back when I went to school, when I was in grammar school from grades 1 to 6, I think busing started around grade 5 or so, back in, let's see, 68, was it? Not sure. But it seemed like the students that were busing were happy to be at the school, and everybody got along. I don't know. That was Bay Ridge, Brooklyn.
We can't even gauge it by whether the students were happy or not happy. They were total innocents in this. They were total victims. They were total, pawns in a very nasty game. So children would react like children. They get a bus ride to a different school, and it's an adventure. But that's not really what it was. This was planned.
The last time I called, do you remember I asked you to look at Biden to see? I thought he might be suffering some dementia, some form of dementia. And I didn't know if you picked up on that or not.
Well, I just thought he was a little bit, he was dull. He came across as a dull guy. He didn't come across as being enthusiastic, full of fire, and waiting to make his point. He didn't come across that way. He came across as
tired. We still
have
a year and a half. We still have a year and a half before the election, so I don't think they want him to go get too far ahead right at this point. They want to keep it balanced because there's more debates to come. And so they didn't want him to come out as the definite guy. You know, they have to keep things going, keep us interested, keep us anxious to get to the next debate. You know, let's see what's going to happen the next time Biden goes up against Harris. You know,
they
got to make a good show out of it, maybe.
She also has, and she has been relieved, apparently, by media coverage and by other people vouching for her. She has not been queried about the implication of what she said to Biden. And the implication is Barack Obama. How could you, how do you explain that you had no trouble basically intimating that the fact that Barack Obama chose Biden as his vice president for 8 years? Barack Obama
and
was
Hillary as Secretary of State to make it even more sugar on top.
So she made a very poor move. And I wish that people would come out and ask her pointedly, with your record as prosecutor in California, you think you have dibs to confront Biden on his record? Really? Oh, give me a break. Thanks, E, for calling in today.
Right? Kind of hypocritical, I guess. But that's what politics
is. Hypocritical. Leona from Michigan, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrecht. Thank you for taking my call, and greetings to your audience.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I didn't think about that piece about her indictment of, her coming after Joe Biden would reflect on, you know, Barack Obama, but yeah, it does. But my thing was, I saw part of the debate, and I was a little upset that Kamala Harris thought that only she could speak about race, because it was Marianne Williamson who was speaking before Kamala jumped in, and Marianne Williamson was you know, I think she said something about reparations, actually, for slavery.
Yes, she did.
And then all of a sudden, Kamala says that, well, let me talk about race, or whatever, however it is she said it. But I was wondering whether or not she brought her white husband to South Carolina with her.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. And she lived in Canada for a long time, too, as well. So I don't know when the busing thing, her busing experience took place, but she, well, according to my limited research, she spent some time living in Canada. And I thought perhaps she snatched that subject. Because, yeah, I think it was planned, like some other people suggested. And the other thing was she wanted, well, I can't ascribe her motives. I don't know what they are. But I saw somewhere else where Marianne's, Williamson's mic was cut off shortly after. She said that on Twitter, that her mic was cut off.
Mm.
Yeah, so it was a lot of backstory and stuff going on. But
there clearly was an intention here to not deal with relevant issues. You're in a presidential debate. I'll use the term loosely. You're in a presidential debate, and you select to go after the top guy. So far, at that time, one of the leading candidates, who would inevitably, if you stay in the contest, would be one of your targets. But you choose to dredge. You choose to dredge the canal for an issue that was at least 3 or 4 decades old. We get how it worked out all over the country. We understand it. And you're saying he is responsible. Okay, if you say he's responsible. But does that put us in the here and now to discuss what your thoughts are here and now about issues here and now that affect the all Americans?
Mm-hmm.
She went there because it was calculated to resonate emotionally with blacks.
Yes, ma'am. Indeed. Right. Right. Yeah. Indeed.
And then she took the whole thing, the whole subject, even though she was a child at the time, the whole subject resonating with her personally. This is her personal issue. So therefore, it is everybody's issue, even though we can agree that in terms of relevance now, we consider this matter in the past. And we're on to other current education debates. She didn't even bring anything up that is current. Let's say you experienced the issue of unequal education personally. Is there something that you could link it to today and raise it in that context, in which case you will have some kind of defense that you're not just going after Joe Biden for revenge or just to be nasty, but do you have something relevant to ask? And there are issues that you could have linked it to today. And then people could react. And nobody raised a question about nobody raised a question about her performance as a prosecutor or her decision to go into that field. the damage it has done in, everybody agrees, in a state where people of color are targets, the controversial cases of death under police custody, all of that stuff they could have done to her.
Yep, Matrice Richardson. I'm listening. Go ahead.
So, you know, that was a nasty move on her part. And she should be made aware of it, and people should not forget it. Plus, she was the beneficiary of the largesse of the president who chose Biden as his vice president. So, in other words, you're attacking him too, because he apparently had poor judgment.
Let me ask you one thing right quick. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, you Therese.
Go ahead.
Poor judgment.
I'm ready.
Okay, given that, and this is how I see it, given that the system of racism, white supremacy, was developed by a certain segment of white people, would not they be the experts on that particular system?
Would they not be what?
The experts on the system of racism, white supremacy, given that a certain segment of people classified as white developed, established, maintained this system, it seems to me that they would be the experts on the system of racism, white supremacy. I say that because Kamala presented herself as if she was the expert on race, and she's not. I think the people who developed the system of racism, white supremacy would be the experts on race.
The reason you think so is because, as I said, she arrogated unto herself. She took ownership of the struggle for education unto herself.
Right.
Because only she experienced it.
And she was in Canada for a number of years during her adolescence.
Not only that, she had options.
Indeed.
She had options. Both her parents were well-educated people.
Yes, ma'am.
They were not poor people.
Oh,
so
ma'am.
She had many options.
Mm-hmm.
But in this presentation that she made to the nation, she communicated a personal experience that was above and beyond everybody else who experienced the same issue. And it was that gave her authority, she felt, to, you know, face off against Biden. But and stunned everybody in a way. I mean, people said that she won against Biden. Biden was stunned. He couldn't believe that this young lady is holding him up to public scrutiny like this, 30 years gone, and making him personally responsible. Personally responsible. In which case, it is fair game to hold her personally responsible for all the atrocities occurring under her watch as chief prosecutor.
Wow.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. May I ask you one quick question? This is the last one, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
Okay. South Carolina has a majority black voters in South Carolina. And I think Kamala Harris was, you know, talking to the black folks to a degree. Okay, I'm thinking if Barack Obama had a white wife, I don't know that he would have got elected by the percentages of black folks who voted for him. I don't know. Now, Kamala Harris has a white Jewish husband. No disrespect to him. Never met the man. Don't know nothing about him. I just know, you know, they've been married since 2014, according to the little research I've done online. I'm wondering how black folks would feel about that. I don't know. Which is why I was wondering if her husband was front and center in South Carolina with her. during these quote unquote.
I don't know if he was part of, you know, very, very visibly part of her campaign. But, you know, there are so many contradictions with Kamala Harris on the issue of race that she needed to be very careful about doing what she did. And she didn't seem to care, which tells me that she has advisors who, along with her, of course, who calculated that this was the best way to lift her out of the pack and put her in a leadership position among the other candidates. This was going to be a stormy issue. It was going to gather a lot of attention. It was going to generate a lot of controversy. And in any event, she will be smack dab in the middle of it. And this gives her leadership capability and opportunity. And she said, yeah, absolutely, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. And this is why we have to punish her. We have to remind Ms. Harris that, you know, you do not own the busing issue. You're not the only one who went through it. It is not yours to parlay for political gain. And if you're going to attack somebody, again, I'm not a fan of Joe Biden, but if you're going to mount an attack against a fellow candidate, don't sink so low. Don't get into the typical Democratic nasty politics. Don't go there. Because it means that you will take a whole bunch of people with you who don't deserve that. You're presenting false information in order to capitalize on your position as a candidate within the party. You deserve nothing based on that. That's my view. Thanks for calling in, Leona. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, Eutrice, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
What I'm thinking about this whole thing with this woman candidate is that, you touched on it briefly. First of all, she needs to get some new advisors, because if she's in a run like this, she should have good advisors. And her advisors let her down by bringing up this issue. And I think that's important. The other thing is, who was she thinking would be the target in terms of getting her some let's say, let's call it votes? I mean, when you look at the Democratic group and this one party we have, Republican Democrat, the black community essentially, not totally, but you know, most of the black community is in the pocket of the Democratic division. So you know, but they're not the only group that votes. So this was a bad calculation by those advisors who I'm certain knew that she was going to bring this issue up. So that's number one. She should let her get some good advisors rather than people that tell her to do nonsense like this. And but I think the damage has been done. That's not going to win over any Euro-American voters. And what was the purpose of bringing this up? So that's the way I think about it. I think it's a very bad move on her part, and I don't think she's going to get much mileage out of it.
Well, I think she saw an opportunity to put herself within the highest echelons available so far in the course of running this campaign.
Yes,
she was on the fringe, and now she's center stage.
Yeah, you see, that may be so, but I don't think that's the type of strategy would help win the election, you know, when you look at the whole population of the country. And furthermore, being in a position like a prosecutor, and most of them are very, you know, dangerous people, to especially people of color, and that opens the door for other people to bring out things about her. So if you're a prosecutor and probably have done all kinds of devilment, why would you bring up something that essentially opens the door for criticism by others about you? That's what I think.
That's right. I agree with you wholeheartedly. That did not make sense at all. And you wonder, you know, was somebody drunk when they came up with the strategy?
Bad advice. Bad advice on the part of her advisors.
Very bad. But then again, she made the decision to go with it. So she's going to have to suffer the consequences.
Yes.
I'm saying that we have to say publicly, we have to rebuke her on this. The reason being that, first of all, it was uncalled for. There was no point to it. You didn't score
Absolutely.
Points against Biden on any current issue in play. You know, what was the issue that this was supposed to address, the a salient issue that all people could recognize as, well, this is one of the key issues of the campaign? Whatever
exactly.
your position is, let's say she differs, but none of that was brought up. She
Correct.
Went back all those decades ago, talked about herself as the embodiment of the struggle, which, by the way, maybe she doesn't know. Tens mm-hmm. of thousands of people all across the country engaged in the struggle for many, many decades. Perhaps she doesn't know that.
You got it.
And bad as it was, she still had choices.
Mm-hmm.
For all kinds of reasons, she had choices that most black children in this country did not have. But in
exactly.
any event, it was just stupid, plain stupid, to use your time, which was supposed to be dedicated to the concerns of people now, to talk about this issue and to talk about it as your personal, you know, your personal revenge item. So that's why I hate Joe Biden. Inadvertently, basically calling into judgment Barack Obama.
Exactly.
That doesn't yeah. make sense. It doesn't make sense on any level at all.
It's interesting that with all that money she's got coming in, she couldn't get better advisors than the one she had who let her get by with that. It's very poor, poor advice.
I think so. I think so. Very much so. Thank you, David, for calling in. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. I have a couple of minutes, and I'll use it to talk a little bit about this. You see, some people in this whole issue that we're dealing with in the black community, it's a color issue, it's a class issue, it's a race issue. There are people who still are out of the loop. They're not in step with what black people are really thinking and experiencing. So they have to go through a process of re-education, and in some cases, just education, because they never got this kind of tutelage. But I was especially miffed about her assuming she would do this with full support from the black community. Why? Because she is black. and she is attacking a white man, so we should be okay with that. Nope, we shouldn't be okay with that. She was being calculating, racially calculating. And she was calculating that support, there would be an upswell of support for her as a black woman attacking a white man. The news agencies and papers, they did their part of provoking that kind of dynamic. Here's a lady, the black lady, who torpedoed the leading candidate and herself becoming a leading candidate. Yeah, they'll take that line because they really don't have a deeper appreciation for American history. They don't understand it, or they refuse to deal with the reality of American history. But for many of us who understand what that meant and what her conduct communicated, we ought to say, you are so wrong, and we rebuke you. Thanks for listening. We'll join each other again tomorrow. Bye-bye.